Thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. Thanks also to Mack Weldon for supporting the Productivity Show. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and high-quality fabrics. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/TPS and enter promo code TPS. We'd also like to thank Shopify for supporting the Productivity Show. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like ourselves the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/TPS. All right, welcome back to The Productivity Show, a podcast where we believe you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, your family, and things that matter to you. My name is Brooks. I'm the COO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And I am joined by my co-host for the podcast, the CEO of Asian Efficiency, Mr. Tan Pham. How's it going, Tan?
Hey, Brooks. Good to see you here. And I'm excited to talk about the four-day work week today, because this is an experiment that we've been running for a while now and a few times. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. You and I have had this idea for a while. And so this is the first time we're going to be publicly talking about it. And this is going to be a slightly different episode as well, from my understanding.
Yeah, that's right. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Like Tan said, we've had this episode on the list of topics to do for a very long time. And we finally got it in here. And the reason we're doing it is because from time to time, we do episodes about kind of like the behind the scenes, how we do things at AE. We do this for two reasons. Going back to the very early days of the blog in 2011 and the very early days of the podcast in 2015, we often get a lot of questions about how we do things at AE, like behind the scenes. I know myself personally, for those who don't know, I was a Productivity Show listener way before I joined the team and became one of the co-hosts. And I always really liked the episodes where you guys talked about kind of like the inside baseball stuff, to use a North American term. So that's one reason. And number two, we are always doing experiments to try to improve the company. We're going to talk about that. We want to be more productive, but we also want to have happier and more engaged team members. Tan, I know you always have the saying, happy people are productive people. And so what we like to do from time to time is share these kind of experiments with you. And the reason that this episode is a little different is because we're going to be flipping the table. This isn't going to be like a tips episode. Basically, it's going to be like a guest episode, but Mr. Tan Pham is going to be the guest of the Productivity Show, where I'm going to be asking him about the four-day workweek experiment like we talked about and the way it started and that sort of thing. And just for background, a few summers ago now, we did an experiment, which is, what if we ran the company at just 4 days a week throughout the entire summer? So this wasn't just like a two-week thing. This was the entire summer. Tan kind of floated the idea, and we had a vote in the company about whether we wanted to do this or not. Surprise, surprise, the team voted yes, we want to do it. I know that's shocking. And we've done it a few times since, and actually we are currently midway through another run at it. We're doing it during December for the first time. We've always done it in the summer, but now we're giving it a try in December. So we thought this would be a very good opportunity for tackling this topic now, since we are right in the middle of it. So Tan, maybe you can take us through why we decided to do this episode and some of your thoughts around that.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people have heard of the idea of a four-day work week and have maybe even thought about running one. So I want to kind of share some insights of all the things that we've learned. So if you ever thought about applying a four-day work week, whether it's you as a manager or as a boss, I think we're going to be helping you quite a bit here with some of the insights and lessons that we've learned. And then you can decide if it's right for you or not. And I know many of you who are listening are maybe like team members or employees, and maybe you want to have ideas and ammo to say, hey, I think we as a team or as a company should do a four-day work week for X and Y and Z reasons. So I think we're going to be covering a lot of that here today as well. And as always, you can find links to everything that we talk about in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/382. And before we start the whole thing, let me share some of my favorite resources on this topic, because it's one of the things we always like to do on the podcast. So the first one is a book called Remote, Office Not Required. And it's one of the first books with best practices around remote work. And Jason, who wrote the book from Basecamp, it kind of inspired the four-day work week many, many years ago, something that he had done always at Basecamp, usually during the summers. And that's originally where I got my idea from as well. So I highly recommend you check out that book. The second one is another book called Scaling Up. It's kind of like a business operating system that we use here at Agent Efficiency. So think of it as like a OS for running your business. And that's what Scaling Up essentially is. And I highly recommend it. Everyone in the company here at AE knows how to apply this idea of running Scaling Up and some of the elements of it. So I highly recommend you check it out, because it's highly relevant to how we do things here. And then the third one is a card game called Grok. So you spell it as G-R-O-K. And it's a card game that allows you to build empathy with your partner or significant other or whoever you play with. So it's a great way to kind of like learn stuff about your significant other or the people that you play with and how to recognize some of their emotional needs. And it's a really fun way, instead of having like those tough discussions or, you know, tough conversations, what if you play a card game to kind of uncover some of these things about each other. So it's a really fun game. I highly recommend you check it out. And next week's episode is all about how to get ready for the next year. So 2022 is right around the corner. So we want to give you some best practices for setting yourself up for a productive year.
All right, let's get started. And we're just going to get this out of the way right up front, which is I personally am in kind of a weird position, because I'm going to be asking a lot of questions about implementing the four-day work week, what worked, what didn't work, that sort of thing. However, being a member of the Agent Efficiency team, I am also one of the beneficiaries of the four-day work week. So I'm going to do my very best to be objective in my questions. I'm going to take my AE team member hat off and put on my podcast host hat, and because there are definitely things to think about. It's not like all sunshine and roses. There are definitely things you want to think through if you're going to try this, both from the manager side, but also the contributor side. So we're going to try to get into all that, but just want to throw my potential bias out there. So let's get started. The way I remember it is we first did the four-day work week in the summer of 2020. And like I said, it lasted the whole summer. And like we said, it was your idea. You're the one who brought it to the company. It's not like the team brought it to you. And you mentioned that you originally got the idea when you read the remote book, which I also agree is a great book. But what is it specifically that got you into the mindset to try it in that like September 2020? What is it that kind of like pushed you over the edge?
Yeah, I remember when, you know, the lockdowns happened here in the United States when COVID first came. So this was back in March of 2020. So we have March, April, May, June. And we started implementing the four-day work week in, I believe, in July. And this was around the time when, I don't know if you still remember this, but all of us were at home and there's literally nowhere to go. And generally, what typically already happens is when you are working from home, even way before COVID, people who tend to work from home also put in more hours, whether they realize it or not. So people who, in our company, even we have Marmel, who kind of does a lot of the HR stuff. She constantly has to remind people to take time off because people tend to kind of put off when they can take time off, knowing that, one, we have an unlimited PTO policy here at AE. So you can take time off whenever you want to, as long as you give enough notice. And we have found from doing this for many years that actually the number of days off that people take off is actually quite low. And so we kind of had to train people to say, hey, you should be taking more time off. So now everyone actually does a pretty good job of it. I would say most people take anywhere between 25 and 34, 35 days off a year, which is, I think, pretty good. It's kind of like a month of the year. And so when we were going in lockdown, not only were we already working more as remote people tend to already do, but because you couldn't go anywhere else, you're already stuck at home. And the only form of entertainment was either TV or the computer, right? So most of us ended up spending working way more. And so I could kind of get a sense that maybe burnout was on the horizon because we were just stuck at home. We couldn't go anywhere. All we could do was work. and that was it, right? And so I said, you know what? What's something that we can do to make sure that people are taking time off? Because I kind of got the sense that, you know, not only in my friend circles, but also from people at work, that they were potentially just on the cusp of burnout or just like spending way too much time behind a computer. And so I said, hey, you know what? Let's just try a 4-day work week experiment. So that way everyone gets an extra day off, use that for, you know, a rejuvenation, recovery, kind of like not thinking about work. Even though you might not be able to go anywhere, hopefully taking your mind off work on that particular day, which was for us Friday, hopefully that will help with your mental health and just like your overall motivation at work. And so even though our performance at work wasn't like struggling or wasn't that bad, I just kind of got a sixth sense that, hey, you know what? I think if we continued down this path, it would probably be at some point pretty bad. And so I said, as a preventative measure, hey, let's try out a 4-day work week and see how it goes.
Yeah, I guess this is a whole other podcast, but the unlimited PTO, personal time off things, is an interesting topic too, because it sounds great, right? But what I see sometimes is that companies almost weaponize it in the sense that, hey, we give our people unlimited time off, but then people don't take it and feel like they shouldn't take it. You know what I mean? So it's almost like companies are banking on that. So I like the approach we take where, like you said, Marmel is actually like bugging people to take time off if the number gets too low. All right. So something that I think that any business owner, and maybe you thought about this too, or manager would worry about with this whole 4-day work week thing is they might be thinking, you know, I'm paying people for X and now I'm voluntarily like making them less efficient in the sense that I'm paying them the same, but they are working less. Is that something that you worried about? If so, how did you get past this sense that, hey, if people are able to do more, maybe I should just give them more to do? Like, how did you get past that block? If you had it, maybe you didn't, I don't know.
So Asian Efficiency started in 2011, and we've always been a remote company since day one. And one of the advantages of being a remote company is that results are very black and white. Because I can't see everyone on a day-to-day basis, I might see them on screen, but I can't really, you know, walk past the office and say, hey, Brooks has checked in and Marmel is here and everyone else is here. It's very different when you do that online, right? You've been here for a while and you know, like, micromanaging is not a term that I'm very familiar with. I have no clue how to micromanage people. However, I am very diligent when it comes to results and making sure that the results are done in time. So the beautiful thing about remote work is because results are so black and white, there's very little margin for excuses, in my opinion. And part of that is just my management style of like how I do things. And because of that, whenever like COVID came, you know, I noticed a lot of people who had to make the transition to working from home. If you were in a management position, a lot of people have this concern of, you know what, I want to make sure people are working and getting their stuff done. And that got amplified even more because now you couldn't see your people. Previously, you could see them in the office, but now you couldn't, right? And I think this is such an old mindset that I think the better way to look at it is to say, hey, at the end of the day, everyone that has a job or has a job title, in that sense, is there to provide specific deliverables and specific results. Like, that's why people got hired. It's not there to fill up a room. People are not there to, you know, just to hang out. Like, they're there to work and accomplish certain goals and outcomes, right? So can we get clarity about what those goals and outcomes are? And if we do have them, then it's easy to measure the performance of people, but also if people are getting their stuff done or not. And to amplify that even further, when we are in a remote setting, that becomes very obvious. And so I think the old school way of thinking is, hey, you know, I'm paying people a salary or by the hour, so I'm expecting, you know, certain amount of work done. Whereas I think the way I look at it is to say, hey, yes, everyone is on payroll, but everyone has specific goals and outcomes that they're being measured by and being held accountable by. So I'm paying for that. I'm paying for those things, like the results and outcomes, not for the time that they spent on something. Right. So if I'm paying you to give me a beautiful painting, at the end of the day, I don't really care if you spend an hour creating it or 5 hours. Like, I just want a beautiful painting. That's what I want. That's the result or the outcome that I'm looking for, right? Now, if I start to notice that you can get a beautiful painting done in 1 hour, then maybe I might say, hey, maybe we can generate a few more paintings, right? But if I don't need more paintings, I'm still happy with that particular outcome. And so when I became more familiar with scaling up, which is the business operating system that we kind of use here to run AE, one of the things that they talk about a lot is labor efficiency ratio, so LER. So the basic idea is if you invest $1 into people, how much do you get back? So another way of saying this, if I invest a dollar in the company, how much revenue does the collective of the people generate as a whole? So let's say it's like $2.50, right? So then the labor efficiency ratio is 2.5, essentially. And so over time, behind the scenes, I kind of started measuring that. And so because I could kind of measure that, I could say, oh, well, the team is really efficient because for every dollar that everyone got paid, we generated X amount of revenue, right? And as long as that number is in within a certain range, which we or I had to kind of like learn to identify, I could tell like, okay, this is a healthy range or this is a low range. And when we implemented the 4-day work week, I could quickly see like, hey, not only through other measurements could we tell that the results are there, we were able to do it in 1 day less. And the productivity of people was roughly the same, if not better, right? So in terms of efficiency and output. And so if you're listening to this and you go, hey, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Like if you listen to this right now and you go, hey, I'm not sure if I'm on board with that. What I would say to you is to think about, you know, why are people actually there? Like, what are they getting paid for? And if you don't know how to quantify that or measure that, then yes, it's easy to say, hey, I want people to be, you know, working all the time. And we're just, you know, if we're not doing anything, then we're quote unquote wasting our money there, right? But if we know that we're paying people for specific results, then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much time it takes, as long as the results are there. Hey, if they get it done faster, great. Give them some extra time off and have them, you know, enjoy their life. And like I always like to say, happy people are productive people. And also, if they're happy, they're going to stay longer at the company and, you know, everyone wins.
Yeah, in the live stream that we record with our TPS Plus members and our Dojo members, Giacomo makes a great point, whereas many of these like large companies actually operate on the sense of trading time for money. You know, even roles that don't make sense. For example, my wife, her company, they make them fill out timesheets, and she's a senior marketing person, right? She's not doing billable work. She's not doing manufacturing or something like that. She's doing marketing. So it really is a mindset shift, but I think it's starting to change more and more. So I think this idea that you have really is starting to take hold. It's just with larger companies, it's sometimes taking a little longer.
Well, what's crazy is a lot of people that I know who work in corporate America, especially ever since the whole remote thing became a big thing, like one of the things they have to do is, you know, use their mouse or move their mouse so it doesn't look like they're offline or, you know, away from their desk. So they always have this perception that they're there, right? And that's how their management team kind of keeps an eye out on everyone. And they'll even use hacks like, you know, playing a 7-hour YouTube video of like, you know, musical background or just like beautiful nature scenes so that the computer doesn't go offline or it doesn't go, you know, in screen saving mode or stuff like that. Like when, you know, in fact, you can actually change the settings so it never happens. But it's like stuff like that just drives me absolutely crazy to say like, wow, this is so old school, so outdated. But, you know, this is the real world. This is what people are dealing with.
All right, so we did that first experiment in summer of 2020. What was your feeling about how it went? Like, what were your key takeaways? I mean, obviously, spoiler alert, we did it again. So it obviously wasn't totally negative, but what were your like thoughts and key takeaways after that first experiment in 2020?
So if I remember correctly, we did it in the summer of 2020, and I want to say we committed to doing it for a month. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we did it for a month and then extended it another month. I think that's how it went. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we committed to the idea of like, hey, let's try it out for 2 sprints, which is 1 month for us because every sprint is 2 weeks. And then we did end up extending it, which I remember because it was such a great success. And so the reason we ended up extending it was, one, we can measure as a team how productive we are. So if you've been listening to us for a while, you probably know that we use Scrum at Asian Efficiency, which is kind of like a philosophy of how you do teamwork and project management. And it's really popular in the software world, but not so much outside of the software world, although that is changing, which is great. So one of the things that we can do is measure our output as a team, which is something that is called story points. So if you're familiar with that, you already know what that is. But if you're not, it's basically, you can kind of assign what they call story points, which is basically a number, to every single task. And then when you add it all up with all the different tasks that you have, you come out to a certain number, and then we can basically measure as a team, like if that's feasible or not, right? We have to take into account, like, is everyone available? If someone's taking a day off, then obviously the number of story points that we can complete is going to be lower, right? And so the cool thing is that because they're based on Fibonacci numbers, they kind of expand and grow over time as tasks become more complex, because it becomes harder and more challenging to plan. We kind of have figured out a formula to calculate essentially what the number is for us every single sprint. And if you were a Dojo member, or if you're a Dojo lifetime member, I should say, we did a presentation a while back where we explained this whole process. So if you are listening, you are a lifetime member, you should have access to that recording that should be in the customer area. But if you were a lifetime member afterwards, you can log in and it should be in your customer area as well. But basically, we walked people through like how we could plan and estimate how much work we got done. And so because we could measure it, at the end of the 4 weeks, when we tried the 4-day work week, we noticed that, one, we got the same amount of work done in 5 days that we did in 4 days, right? So as we were planning our sprints, we said, hey, we're going to plan for 5 days, but we will actually only be online for 4 days. And so because it was our first time running it, this was kind of the hypothesis, right? And so I'm sure you've heard of Parkinson's Law, which is the idea that work will take up the time you allocate it to, which is, in other words, of saying, hey, if you say to yourself, I'm going to write a book in 1 year, guess what? It's going to take 1 year to write a book. But if you tell yourself, I'm going to write a book in 3 months, guess what? You will finish that book in 3 months. So work will fill up the space you give it. And so it's the same idea here. We said, let's try to get everything done in 4 days, but associated with the same amount of work we would normally do in 5 days. And, you know, we had the hypothesis that maybe our days would be a little bit longer. So instead of like, quote unquote, 8 hours a day, it might be 8.5 or 9 hours a day, or even 10, right? To make up for those extra, quote unquote, missed 8 hours on Friday, because we would just work Monday through Thursday. And let's see how it goes, right? And so by the end of the 4 weeks, we did a retrospective, which is basically kind of like a review as a whole team. And we said, hey, what did we learn about the 4-day work week? And what did we like? What didn't we like? And so I think everyone, from what I remember, agreed that, one, everyone loved it, right, having the Friday off. But also, two, yes, the days were longer, but everyone found that worthwhile to have that Friday off. And so people were willing to work 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11 hours in order to have that whole Friday off. So once we kind of did that retro, which was pretty, extensive and detailed, we said, you know what, let's just try again for another month and see how we go. And then we did it again for another 4 weeks. And, you know, I was very tempted to say, hey, let's do it one more time. but then we got into very busy season and said, okay, let's, maybe we'll do this again next year, right? Next summer, because this could be a fun summer thing. And I think part of the inspiration was also my upbringing growing up in the Netherlands. Like, it was always a thing to take 4 to 6 weeks off, because that's what typically everyone does in the summer in the Netherlands. And so I kind of missed that when I moved to the United States, where I see people working all the time and I go, huh, this is very counterintuitive to what I was used to growing up. And so being able to introduce that back somehow in my company, I think was a great thing. And everyone seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, there's an interesting discussion in the live stream, speaking of your experience in the Netherlands, because I know in Europe it is much more common than it is here in North America to have a lot of vacation days. In North America, for listeners who are outside of North America may not realize that, you know, it's very rare for somebody to have more than 2 or 3 weeks vacation. Like, that's pretty, you have a pretty good job if you are able to negotiate higher than that. And so like there's talk about how in Australia there's a minimum of 4 weeks. I know in many European countries it's different. So it's interesting that you took that experiment and tried to roll it into the company. As far as the length of the days go, yeah, that was an interesting thing too, because I know many, many years ago, early in my career, I worked for a provincial government here. And what we had is something called a flex day, where you could work a little bit extra each day, and then you would get, I can't remember if it was one day a week off or once every second week. I can't remember that. But it was like directly tied to working longer. And it sounds like we flipped it around where, and it's kind of interesting that we're in a pretty unique place to be able to do this, because everything is so mathematically based, what we do. Like you said, we did that whole session for lifetime members where we talked about this, but like what we do in a given sprint is like mathematically calculated, essentially. So we are really able to, probably more than most companies, to see what the impact of trying something like this out is. And like you said, yeah, it, at least at the beginning, kind of like expanded the days a little bit, but I don't think there was anybody who said it wasn't worth it.
So if we trace it back even further, I think the reason it was successful was because we could measure it, right? And because we had a formula of calculating how much we could quote-unquote produce in the sprints, like that formula got refined and created over the last like 3 to 4 years leading up to the summer of 2020. So it took us a lot of iterations to figure out what that formula was for us, right? But once we figured it out, like our sprints became really efficient. We were able to hit like 100% sprint completions. Whereas before, I don't know if you were here in the early days, but when we had our first sprints, and Marmel can definitely attest to that, man, we were hitting like 40 to 50%, you know, completion ratios of our sprints because we just overpacked it. We were way too optimistic. And then over time, we kind of saw a pattern of like what's reasonable and how to plan stuff. And then once we kind of hit our stride of hitting 100% completion rates, we said, okay, let's try to push the boundaries, right? So we went from like internally, you know, this number 2.4 to like 2.5 to 2.6, 2.7. And then once we hit 2.7, I was like, ooh, this is like, you know, burning the tires a little bit too much on the car. We need to start dial it back a little bit. And we found a sweet spot to be at 2.4, which is kind of like the big variable in our formula that we had shown to our Dojo Lifetime members. And so because we could measure it, now when we were going into the 4-day work week, we had like a hypothesis that we can kind of like take a scientific approach with and say, hey, can we get the same amount of story points done in 4 days as if we planned it for 5 days? And the answer turned out to be yes. And I think if we had to redo this all over again and we didn't have this formula, I think the 4-day work week would have been a lot more challenging and would have been a lot more difficult to kind of like gauge if we actually were productive or not. Because like you said, because we have a mathematical formula to kind of know, that really allowed us to succeed at this the first time. And, you know, maybe I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but when we did it the second time, because we're able to learn from it, the second time was actually even more efficient. So if people worked, let's say 10 days or 10 hours in 1 day before, I think now people were able to get stuff done in 8 or 8.5 hours in a day in a 4-day work week compared to done previously. And there were a lot of lessons there, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But it's one of those things that's so true. Like the first time you do something, it's always very inefficient. But the more you do it, the more efficient you get at it.
If you own or run a business, you have to wear so many hats. There's raising money, marketing, operations, product. There's just everything. Well, one thing you can do is let Indeed take recruiting and hiring off your plate so you can focus on the things you want to focus on. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, which is a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible. You can really do it all. You can attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. With Indeed, you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process so you can find talent with skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Let's talk a little bit about Indeed virtual interviews. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent seamlessly all in one place with Indeed. There's no need to go to a separate tool. There's no need to install anything extra. Indeed's virtual interviews work right from your browser. So you can interview virtually with no downloads, no plugins, no purchases. It makes it easy for you and for the interviewee. And you can do this all in one place with Indeed. Personally, I've done a lot of hiring in the past, and we do it a lot here at AE. And it's something that can take up so much time, energy, and attention. It can really feel like a second job. So that's why the tools they've built right into Indeed are so great. It lets us spend time talking to the right candidates in the most efficient way. Obviously, I love that. So get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/TPS. That's Indeed.com/TPS. Offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and high-quality fabrics. It's the holiday season, and this holiday season, Mack Weldon can help you stay stylish and comfortable no matter what the occasion is. It could be an office party, could be getting together with family and friends, or it could even be at home just watching a game or a baking show if that's more your thing. Turns out my family has a lot of opinions about baking. I had no idea. Mack Weldon's innovative daily wear system is taking the hard work out of outfit planning. There's pieces that are designed to work together for any occasion. It saves you time and spares you extra holiday stress. Mack Weldon's Warm Knit collection features shirts, vests, pajama pants, and more that keeps you at warm temperature in the cold with innovative technology that uses your own body heat. They also have their Ace collection, where they pair super soft high-performance fabric with great style. So if you're looking for the perfect present for any guy on your list, Mack Weldon is offering great gift sets this holiday season with limited edition color drops and a ton of new releases. So I swear I didn't plan it this way today, but I am recording this wearing both top and bottom Mack Weldon. I have the Ace sweatpants and the Ace crew neck sweatshirt on, and they are so comfortable. I was actually just telling my wife this weekend that I grabbed the sweatpants as my default now. They're great in my home office, but also going out for errands. I'm a total convert, and I'm going to be gifting Ace and Warm Knit collections this year. So for 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/TPS and enter promo code TPS. That's mackweldon.com/TPS with promo code TPS for 20% off. Mack Weldon, get it right this holiday season. Thanks to Shopify for supporting the Productivity Show. I love Shopify. It has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/TPS. That's all in lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved only for big business, but customized for you with a great-looking online store that brings your idea to life and tools to manage and drive sales. Having an idea is one thing, but making your idea real opens endless possibilities. When we first started the podcast, running your online business was so difficult. There were so many different systems that we had to bolt together, and none of them really worked together that well. It was not ideal. Now with Shopify, it is so easy for anyone to successfully run your own business. Shopify powers over 1.7 million entrepreneurs, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. It's really amazing. So get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. You can access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. And you can gain knowledge and confidence with resources to help you succeed. Plus, they have 24/7 support, so you are never alone. Really more than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is a possibility all powered by Shopify. Personally, from the buyer's point of view, I love it when stores use Shopify. It makes checking out so easy and seamless. It actually makes me happy to buy from them. Whenever I use Shopify and I use the Shop app too, it's just great. So anytime you can make your buyers happy, that should make you happy. So go to shopify.com/TPS, and that's all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/TPS right now. So the concept of taking Fridays off, for example, company-wide sounds great, but how does that work in the context of somebody who, say, has to work a certain time period? Like customer success, for example, do you just say like, well, customers are going to need to wait an extra day for a response, or do you need to like shift things around in that way? Like, how do you kind of like walk that knife's edge of the whole company, so to speak, taking that certain day off?
So I think the benefit that we have is that because we're a relatively small company, we can kind of, you know, dictate it based on our terms, right? Whereas like if you're an IT company, you need to have servers up, you know, 24/7, like being able to say, hey, you know what? If your server's down on Friday, you're just going to have to wait till Saturday or till Monday. I think that could be catastrophic, right? So we have to be realistic here. So in our case, what we did was the full-time people would be off Monday, or would be working Monday through Thursday and be off on Friday. And for stuff that had to be addressed on Fridays, we would have the part-time people working on those days. And so, for example, in your scenario with customer success or customer service, as most people would call it, we call it customer success because we want ultimately everyone to be successful at what they do. We would have Jerwin, who's part-time with us, work on Fridays, so he would have the other day off in the week. And so that way, all the full-time people were off, but then the part-time people would be there on Friday to address any needs that our clients might have. And so that way, it still felt like a quote-unquote five-day work week to our clients, right? Because everyone knows that we're typically not working on Saturday and Sunday. And so that way, from the customer point of view, there was no difference, even though internally it was very different. So I think if you're going to run this experiment, see if you can maybe shift things around where, you know, let's say there's a group of people that work Monday through Thursday, and then maybe there's another group of people that work, let's say, Tuesday through Friday or something, and they have the Monday off, right? So there's ways to rejigger that. And if I was in a bigger company, that's probably something I would do like that. Because there's enough overlap for people to be on meetings and stuff, right? And see each other and setting the expectation. Whereas I think if you set the expectation to say, hey, you can take any day off in a week, there's not enough certainty for people to say, oh, can I schedule a meeting with you? Like, are you off that day, right? If it changes on a weekly basis. Whereas if you say, hey, this is a structure of Monday through Thursday, we're going to be working Friday off. And for other people, maybe it's, you know, Tuesday through Friday working, Monday off. Then people kind of know what the expectations are and how they can reach people and stuff.
So there's kind of two ways you could do, well, there's lots of ways you could do this, but two ways that come to mind that you could do this are, you could just say, all right, we're doing an experiment. We're doing 4-day work week. We're going to implement it for whatever time period. Or you could do it like a reward, like, hey, hit these targets and you will get a 4-day work week or whatever it is that you're structuring. What are your thoughts on that? Like using it as a reward, or is one better than the other? Like what do you think of that?
Well, making it a reward sounds like a good idea and sounds fun, but you probably don't know how good it is until you've been through it at least once. Right, I think everyone has had the feeling of being able to take Friday off and go, yay, yay, early weekend or a 3-day weekend, right, as people like to call it, which is nice. But I don't think people really know the value of it until you do it as like multiple times a week. Like being able to take Friday off every single week for like a month or two, that's even nicer than just every now and then saying, hey, you know what, Friday off, 3-day weekend. So in my opinion, I want everyone to kind of go through it. And you also kind of have to go through it together because you're actually learning so much from working together in a shorter time frame that it forces more efficiency in that sense. Like our efficiency had to go up because we had less time to get the same amount of work done. So maybe it would have required like longer huddles, right? Which is, I think we kind of noticed a little bit as well. Like our huddles were a little bit longer, maybe an extra minute or two or three or four. But that was needed because we didn't have that huddle on Friday, right? So we needed to make sure like roadblocks were removed and people who needed additional training or coaching, like, you know, they might have had to extend their hours a little bit so they could, you know, synchronize and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of things you have to go through together in order to make the 4-day work week work. Whereas if one person takes a 4-day work week and another person doesn't, you don't get that same like team dynamic and same growth. And so I would say, you know, as a cultural thing, this is something we do now. Is instead of making it a reward, which I had considered at one point, but I think, Brooks, you were the person who said, you know what, actually, Tan, I would suggest you don't make it a reward. It's either you do this or you don't. And I took that into consideration. And so thinking about it now and thinking it through, I would say, if we can make it as part of our company culture where everyone has gone through it together and we can learn from all the insights that we've had going through it as a team, over time, that will make us a more effective and efficient team. And that in itself is the reward, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to remember that or not. I wasn't going to say that. Yeah, and that's the thing. If you make it a reward and it doesn't happen for whatever reason, like, it's one thing if, you know, obviously a reward isn't always going to be met. Otherwise, it's not, you know, probably your goal wasn't high enough. But if it's a reward that wasn't met and it's for something like this, like 4-day work week throughout the summer or whatever it is, then that's like a summer worth of being reminded. And that's, I think that would have a negative impact personally. All right. Speaking of negative, like, not everything is perfect, obviously. What are some of the negative things, or maybe negative's a little strong, what are some of the like things to be aware of when trying this out that might not be things that you first think of?
You know me pretty well, Brooke, so I like to think things through quite a bit before I make a big announcement in the company, and sometimes that makes me a little bit slower. So I definitely thought this through on so many levels to make sure that, one, we would have a successful experiment, but also, two, to set the right expectations, because nothing is worse than, you know, doing something and then setting up the wrong expectations and not meeting them, and then everyone fails, right? So first thing I did was I said, hey, let's try this out for 4 weeks. That's it. Like, we're not doing this for 2 months. This is just 4 weeks, you know, and everyone was on board with that. And we could kind of experiment with that. And I, what I wanted to avoid was setting up the expectation that this might be like, you know, if it goes well, that it goes for forever, because that's not an idea that I had. Yeah, I'd be open to that, but that was not the initial idea that I had when we were running this experiment for the first time. So I made it very clear to everyone, hey, this is only for 4 weeks. That's it. Don't expect anything else. You know, on this day, after the four week period, we're going to be back to 5 days. So I want to make sure everyone agrees with that and understands that. Like, this is not a permanent thing. This is a experiment, and every experiment has an end date. So we were all very clear about that. And so I wanted to avoid, you know, that disappointment. I think the other thing to be aware of there is, this didn't happen for us, but this is something I definitely considered, which was, it is easy to make the excuse that, you know what, I didn't get this done because we ran out of time, right? And because we had less time, we had, you know, an hour or a day less, I should say, that could be a legitimate excuse. And, you know, I had to take that into consideration, that stuff might roll over and stuff like that could happen. And I had to be okay with that because, yeah, we did have less time to work through this stuff. Now, I did make the stipulation to say, hey, yes, you know, Friday is off, but if you want to show up on Friday, you could. And obviously nobody did. So so that is, you know, an excuse I was definitely taking in. But I don't remember that ever happening because people were just committed to the idea of like, hey, we need to finish the sprint. And I think also, maybe you have better insider baseball on this than I do, Brooks, being the man of the people here in the company, that's, I think if everyone saw that the 4-day work week was going well, that we could, one, do it more often. So maybe we are willing to make short-term sacrifices in order to repeat this experiment again. And maybe we have insider info that I don't know.
Yeah, well, one thing that if you are, you being the listener, is thinking of trying this, that will happen is exactly what Tan says is, first, you need to make it super, super clear that it is like a temporary experiment thing. However, at the end, there are a pretty good chance that people are either going to forget that or still are going to say, oh, we should make this permanent. And so you as the manager, the leader, the whatever, does need to be prepared for that, that it is, you are going to have a bit of an off ramp for people who did find it good, and you need to like transition them back. So that is something to be aware of. It wasn't a problem for us or anything, but the comments did happen for sure. I know for me, one thing, and it's not like a negative thing, but it's definitely something to keep in mind, especially if you are in a work rhythm. Like you tend to do certain things on certain days, you tend to have a generally good idea of what you can get done in a certain amount of time. It can be a little tiny bit disorienting to all of a sudden have that one less day to work with when you're planning out what you're going to be doing in a week and stuff like that. Now, you definitely don't mind it on that Friday, but when you're doing the other days of the week, it is something you got to keep in mind that if you are keeping the volume of work the same, which we always did, like Tan mentioned, you need to come up with some creative ways to work around that. So again, it's not a problem. I wouldn't trade it. But as from the kind of like man of the people side, as you say, if you want to be able to hit your goals, that's something you've got to take into account.
So Giacomo asked a great question. He asked, have you experienced a more compressed work in the 4 days? Or did you even feel like the quality of work wasn't as good compared to 5 days? Like, what's your take on that?
Definitely not reduction in quality. That's not really. I think if that was a result, we definitely would not have repeated the experiment. But it is compressed for sure. You know, if you're keeping the amount the same, but you have 1 day less to work with, that is something that will happen, that your other days might be a little bit more compressed. But at least I personally found it was worth it to have that day off. Now, I think what did happen sometimes is, like, you are right that people weren't skipping their Fridays to come in and do stuff, come in being virtual for our company anyway. However, there were a few times when I would maybe like pop in for half an hour to like just do something to set myself up for success on next Monday or something like that. So I don't think anybody like worked a Friday, a full day or anything like that. But I think some of us occasionally did, you know, just do a little bit here and there just to get ready. But since it left the rest of Friday open, it was 100% worth it.
I think another thing to be aware of is that, is what I mentioned earlier, is if you don't have a way to measure your workload, it's going to be very difficult to know if this experiment is successful or not, right? So you kind of have to take almost a scientific approach to this experiment and say, hey, before we even start this, how do we define success? What does a successful 4-day work week look like? And for us, it was very numerical. Like if we can hit the same number of story points in 4 days, then that would be considered success. And hitting 100% completion rate for our sprints. Like it was very obvious, right? But if you don't have a measurement in place, then you have to maybe get a little bit more creative and say, you know, what is our measurement of success before we start this? And if you have that idea, I think that is going to make it a lot more successful. Whereas if you don't have that, like how do you actually then evaluate if it was good or not? Because then the only thing you can go off was maybe the feedback when you have that in a meeting, right? And kind of have people feel about it. But again, I feel like it's not as optimal compared to predefining that before you actually start it, right? The same thing with goals. Like we want to make sure we, you know, figure out what our goals are beforehand and not afterwards, right? Because then the goalpost can always change. And so that's something I would highly encourage people to think through before they start this.
All right. So my final question, I would say, is I'm sure everybody listening to this has the exact same question, which is, you know, we've spent all this time talking about how great the 4-day work week is. So if the experiments were so well, if the 4-day work week is so great, you know, why not just do it all the time, right? Why only do it in the summer, or as we're trying out now, the summer and December? You know, why not just say Asian Efficiency is a remote 4-day work week company and just leave it at that?
Yeah, that is a consideration. And I posted it about this on my personal Facebook as well, where I said, hey, you know, I've done a 4-day work week. We just wrapped it up, like was very successful. We just stopped it. And I highly encourage all my fellow entrepreneurs and managers to consider doing this. And then everyone went, Tan, why aren't you doing this forever then if this is so great? And I thought, actually, yeah, that is a very good question. Why am I not doing this, right? And then I start thinking about this for multiple days and before I went to bed and every time I woke up, I was like, why am I not doing this? Like, what are the considerations or concerns or fears that I had around this? And I would say the biggest one is the hedonic treadmill, as people like to call it. So it's the idea that us humans, we get easily used to new levels of comfort and luxury. And it's hard for us to go back to how things used to be, right? So for example, if you've ever flown first class over the ocean, it's very hard to go back to coach. And Brooks, you know, you had that feeling. You flew business one time, and it, being a, especially a taller person, like I'm sure it has crossed your mind, or maybe you even experienced, and you go, oh my gosh, I can't fly back, you know, in coach. Like this is, you know, yes, we can, but in our minds, we're like, you know, no, this is not possible, right? Just like if you ever bought a nicer car, like you don't want to go back to what your old car used to be, right? Or if we bought a bigger home, we don't want to go to like a smaller place or even live with our parents, right? So it's just the idea that we get so comfortable very quickly to our new standard or new level of comfort, right? Or luxury, that it's hard to go back to how things used to be. So if we apply that to the 4-day work week, like if everyone is so used to doing the 4-day work week, and let's say we want to aggressively grow the company, and that does require more work and time, like going back to 5 days then seems like a big stretch because we're so used to working at four. However, the opposite is relatively easy. If we're always doing 5 days, but every now and then we go to four, that feels even more rewarding as well. Whereas, you know, going the opposite way feels like a punishment and people are going to be upset. And, you know, there's a lot of like, I wouldn't say conditioning that we have to overcome, but it's just this comfort level that we have to retrain again. And so I would say out of all the considerations, that's probably my biggest concern.
Yeah, flying within North America, I don't really care, but I flew once business class. I've never flown first to Asia. And yeah, going back to economy, especially being a taller person, it would be very, very challenging, but I'm sure I'll survive. All right. So we like to end these episodes with things that are, of course, actionable, like next steps. So we're going to split this in half. So let's say somebody listening to this is an individual contributor, right? They're not a boss. They're not a manager, but they do want to like try this, advocate it some way. Do you have any tips for like bringing it up to their boss, making the case, trying to influence this in some way?
Yeah. So I would say the management team has to buy into this idea. That's the most important thing. So whatever we can do to educate them, whatever we can do to see the benefits and the way we can get the same amount of work done in 4 days is going to be really important. But it's going to be very challenging if people are just not open to that idea whatsoever, right? Like you got to have a management team or a boss that is just very open-minded and is always looking for ways to innovate. But some other things to like throw at them would be to say, you know, just the idea of like happy people are productive people. So if people are happier doing work this way, wouldn't you want that as an employer or as a manager or as a boss? And I think everyone would want that, right? So that's one thing that I would really bring up, because if especially your company or your team has a high turnover rate, like this could be one of those tools you could bring and say, hey, you know, our team has a high turnover rate, like people are not staying this long. Like, I think if we change to a 4-day work week, maybe every summer or we do it, you know, every now and then, I think that would boost the morale for a lot of people, right? So that's one way to bring it up. I think a miniature version of that would be to say, hey, what if we run it as a 4-week experiment and see how that goes, right? 4 weeks, I think, is short enough to get the momentum going, because I think 2 weeks is just too short, whereas a month is kind of like a nice period. But even more so, a miniature version of that would be to say, hey, what if we have no meetings on Friday whatsoever? So that way, I actually know someone who has this in their company. She basically has this company culture where there's no meetings on Fridays. So people are still technically working on Fridays, but most people are just, you know, trying to get their stuff done before Friday. And that way they don't have to have meetings. And so they still have a relaxed Friday and they kind of work 4.5 days in a way, which still feels nice to a lot of people because it feels like they have a really nice work-life balance and they can end their workday relatively early. So those are some ideas, but I would say retention, happiness, and then running it as an experiment, I think are the keywords that you want to put out there.
All right, so let's flip it around then. Let's say you're a manager, you're an owner, you're a boss, and you want to give this a try. What are the first steps to get started and put this in place the right way?
Yeah, we've done this a few times now. So if I had to do it all over again and give people like the playbook of how to do it, I would say, one, announce it to everyone and run it as an experiment. So run it as an experiment for 8 weeks. So not 4 weeks, but 8. If you're really bought into this idea, try it for 8 weeks or 2 months, essentially. and let people know that, one, it has a very specific end date, and at the end date we're going to have a meeting where we're going to be talking about how it went and what we learned and stuff like that. So running a retrospective, highly recommend that. And tell people that Friday is optional. Okay, so they could show up, but they really are not required, and nobody is asked to show up. And so that way, if people wanted to show up on Friday, they could, but really, you know, we don't want to enforce that, right? And then what I would do is do it during a time when it's less busy. So I think every business has like busy seasons and more relaxed seasons. If you want to try it out when there's not a lot of pressure, because that's the best time to do it. So for us, summer is actually relatively slow. So this was the perfect time to try it, and it turned out to be very successful. And so that's something I would encourage you to do as well. Like, try it out during a less busy season, and then I'll be pretty confident you'll be amazed at the results.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tan, for being a guest on your own podcast. Really appreciate it. So we gave our action steps for individual contributors and managers. Our next episode, like Tan said earlier, is how to get ready for next year. It's time to start getting yourself set up for success for 2022. And as always, our show notes are accessible at theproductivityshow.com/382. So thank you all again, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.